My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Lions from their own 48 with a first down. Goff up under center, single back Montgomery. Jared takes, tosses to Montgomery, flips it back to Amon-Ra. He gives it to Goff, who's going to throw downfield. He's got Laporta, makes the grab. 20, 15, 10, 5, yes, end zone. Sir. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about a little razzle-dazzle in the Lone Star State? 52 yards.
Lions Radio, everything going right for Detroit, mostly. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, 47-9 Perloff. And sometimes the numbers don't tell the story, and sometimes they do. And this is one where the numbers tell the story. The Cowboys were not competitive in this game. And listen, it's one thing for your team to not be as good as years past, or you're dealing with injuries, but you should not look like you don't belong on the field with anybody. This team's not that bad. And yesterday they looked like they did not belong on the same field as Detroit.
I mean, the Cowboys fans at least will say we were had injuries. So, and also the sun was in our eyes. So they could come up with some excuses.
The sun was that, in which Jack's is a, face.
Probably on Jerry for billing his stadium that way. But regardless, though, this was more about the Lions just looking dominant. I was looking at their depth chart. I mean, how many Pro Bowl-level players do they have? I mean, I think you're looking at 12 or 13 guys who could make a trip to wherever the Pro Bowl is. I actually don't. Orlando, is that where they're putting it these days?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Not Hawaii anymore.
Anyway, they're just so talented. And if you're trying to stop their offense, to me, I'm not going to even worry about the Cowboys for now. I'll give them a bye, and they'll come back with a new team in 2 weeks and probably lose to San Francisco. But to me, it's just like, wow, they had no chance. They had no prayer in this game, because the run game alone could have scored 35 points. Oh. Add in the pass, and you're dead.
Well, see, that's okay. So that's my question. We've seen this is how the Cowboys lose when they lose, right? A team that can come in to Dallas, at least the last four different times, even going back to last year, when you're almost giving up 50 burgers. I mean, we're talking about NFL teams, okay? This isn't college. 50, you're almost giving up 50 points. And to be honest, Perloff, I've seen the Cowboys lose this way with Micah Parsons fully healthy. And I've seen the Cowboys lose this way with DeMarcus Lawrence fully healthy. So to me, forgive me, I'm not sure that it would have made that much of a difference. You would have had Detroit potentially getting out to another big lead. And
you're right.
Like off to the race, you know? This looks so much like so many other Cowboys losses. Again, where they were way more healthy on defense and almost fully constituted on defense. So to me, it wasn't like, oh gosh, this is some out of nowhere anomaly. Then it explained the Saints. Week two, you got dusted in that game, and Micah Parsons was all over the field. So I just, the excuses are crazy to me for the Cowboys. And then the other part of it is for Jerry Jones to come out and say He doesn't know what changes need to happen. Let's hear from Jerry from yesterday.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
You're an idiot if you're not contemplating it. You should have been contemplating this for weeks, months, maybe.
Well, I'll counter that. Like, you're definitely very much alive in the NFC East. Are you sure that McCarthy kind of owns, like, he will shred the Eagles in a few weeks? I'm not sure you really want McCarthy out of the building for this run right now.
Your team's soft. Your team didn't want to tackle yesterday.
Yeah, but they were last year.
That's on coaching.
Yeah, but where are you going? Who you promoting?
I don't know. Can you call Belichick right now? Can you get him in the building? You're right. You can't promote Mike Zimmer. He certainly hasn't done enough to warrant any kind of promotion. The run defense is just as bad as it was before he got there.
I slightly disagree with the injury thing. I was looking at that. So you know DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. You know they lost Sam Williams, who was going to be a huge part of this defense before. You know De'Ron Bland's not back yet.
Right.
Kendricks was out. I mean,
well, they missed Trayvon Diggs last year, and they won 12 games.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, four of those guys will be back, like, soon. They're going to have a whole new crew on defense. It's the NFC East.
I just ask you, it doesn't matter whether it's the Lions or the Saints or any team in the NFL. You get a 2-touchdown lead on the Cowboys. Good night.
Yeah, but
you've
got
them.
They're not. That's not going to happen against the Giants.
Well, the Giants can't score. So
yeah. I'm just saying that.
Kudos to you. You can beat the Giants, but I think the bar was a little higher for the Cowboys. No.
No, but I think the Cowboys can do the way they've been 12-5 the last 3 years has been dominating the bad opponents. And they'll get some of them.
Well, to be honest, they beat the Giants. They beat the Giants 20-15. That was no Picasso. But it doesn't matter. You have to go for it. You win. You win on the road in the
right.
NFL,
I just think they're obviously, like, remember last year they got destroyed by the Niners and then they got killed by, like, they're not going to beat a good team. Like, that's, but they there is a formula that they have where they'll split with the Eagles, they'll beat the Giants twice. The Commanders is the real test. That is their first game against the Commanders. That's what I want to see. Like, there's a chance that the Commanders' defense is kind of weak, and then even someone as slow as Ezekiel Elliott can run for some yards. That, I mean, I'm just telling you, it's not done in Dallas. 3-3, and they're in probably one of the weakest divisions in the league.
Are they done in Dallas? Because I think they're done. They have their bye week this week, and then at San Francisco, at Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston, at Washington. This is. I don't believe the Cowboys. I wouldn't pencil them in to say I'm confident they can win any of those games. I wouldn't slam dunk say they're winning any of those games. So that's me, 855-212-4227. But I think they earned my negativity today because, again, it's one thing to lose. It's another to be embarrassed and be heartless, gutless, all of it. You mentioned the Commanders and the Eagles and a few others. We want to play a little game after 6 weeks of can they win a Super Bowl. We want to do it with a couple different teams that we were watching yesterday. And let's start first with the Lions. So the loss of Aiden Hutchinson, he gets carted off the field, Perloff, gruesome leg injury. Yeah. We actually had a surgeon who called us earlier in the show. He thought this was more like 8 to 12, maybe 16 weeks. The idea that Hutchinson could come back seems like a pipe dream. Can they win a Super Bowl without him?
Oh my gosh, yes, definitely. I mean, I think they're the team to beat in the NFC even without him. As they have such a good coaching staff too, because Campbell, say what you will about his game management, I mean, they would run through a wall for that guy. That was very clear. Aaron Glenn on defense looks like he's kind of figured out some things. Even without Hutchinson, obviously the Cowboys did nothing. And then Ben Johnson to me is probably the top offensive coordinator in the game now.
Did you see they tried to get a lineman touchdown? They tried to throw a touchdown to their offensive lineman sort of as a harken back to last year.
Like twice.
When he like didn't report eligible, but he did report eligible.
Yeah.
Never seen a back shoulder throw to a tackle before, but Jared Goff didn't care.
He's lucky that one didn't get picked off.
How about the hook and ladder to Penny Sewell?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Wait, how about you?
Tom Brady didn't understand. He's like, why are you? He's like, you must have so many trick plays that you don't mind showing these when you're up by four scores. I want to see the Lions play without Hutchinson before I say absolutely yes. But I would also counter that in the NFC where things seem to be breaking kind of right, because I don't know if the 49ers are as ferocious as they've been in years past, this could be a great spot for the Lions. Okay, what about the Ravens? So yesterday, Baltimore Ravens beat the Commanders. It was a close game, though, Perloff. Are the Ravens a Super Bowl contender?
Yes. I mean, definitely. I'm sorry because it's such a cliche, but Derrick Henry was exactly what they needed to close games. Here's the thing. John Harbaugh and that crew cannot be dumb and go away from the run when they play the Chiefs in the playoffs. Like, that's happening. Can we just pencil that game in right now? It's going to be the Ravens. Unless the Bengals figure out everything and play a disruptor, I think it's going to be the Ravens and the Chiefs. And I think the Ravens are bent on revenge. So I think that now that they have the super running game with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, they certainly look like a contender to me.
Yeah, we're asking the question, can they win a Super Bowl? This is my one question about the Ravens. What happened to their defense?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
This was a team that was always built on defense. I mean, that was the MO of the Ravens, toughness and defense. And their defense is just not as, I'm going to say it plainly, it's just definitely not as good and not as scary. And
no,
I get that Jaden Daniels has like sliced up a lot of teams this year, but I was expecting a like welcome to the NFL moment for Jaden Daniels against the Ravens, and it just never came.
No, this is maybe because, you know, they lose so many guys every year and they have to redefine. Maybe they'll figure out a way I think they rank in the bottom half. Has a bottom half defense won the Super Bowl? When's the last time? Get our research team on that. Nick, when's the last time
a team
that was ranked below 16th in total defense won the Super Bowl? I bet it's a long time. That's an issue. But
ask Siri.
Come on. I mean, Maggie, I know what you're saying, what your brain says, but when your eyeballs see Derrick Henry running straight downhill in the fourth quarter, you stop that.
I can't. My team didn't. didn't even actually have a chance. Okay, we're asking, can they win a Super Bowl? We haven't talked a lot about the Chargers. Now, they are coming off a bye week, Pearl, and they win a game yesterday where they got out to a really big lead against Denver. And then Denver kind of let themselves back in the game. Jim Harbaugh at one point has to leave the field because he had like some kind of heart flutter or some kind of situation with his heart. Obviously, they're in high altitude in Denver. I don't know if that played a role. But the Chargers do come away with a win. Any shot that the Chargers are a Super Bowl contender?
Not to me. I mean, I think they're a playoff contender because their schedule's terrible. But Super Bowl contender, certainly not. In what sense? Like, I guess their defense is really good under Harbaugh, but is it so dominant? They've had three wins over the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Broncos.
Yeah. No, that's not exactly the who's who.
Yeah, that's,
but
I mean,
two are division wins.
I think the Raiders are getting in there as the worst team in the league. They're in that conversation. The Panthers are in that conversation. And the Broncos are not, and to me, not far off. They're a bottom five team. This doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, if there's one team that I could see getting hot, though, as Justin Herbert maybe gets a little bit healthier and he seems to be recovering, and then Jim Harbaugh really gets to put his stamp on this team, I can see the Chargers as a team that goes on a run. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm watching that game yesterday. They're on the road. They get staked to this big lead. Was no one else thinking they're going to blow it? Chargers teams in the past would have absolutely blown that game, and they held on and won. And I think that's little signs that things are different now with Harbaugh.
I watched that game too. Yeah. I was shocked how bad the Broncos are.
I know.
How do you get?
And they still made it a one score game.
Sean Payton gets $19 million a year. They had 0 points at halftime.
I know.
That.
But they made it a one score game by the end.
Yeah,
but
honestly,
it never really felt.
I didn't come away feeling anything about the Chargers. They're just in that 4 o'clock window. They'll probably sneak in the playoffs like a couple years ago when they lost the Jags in the wild card round. I give them next to no chance. So you think, Super Bowl chance?
I think there's an outside shot they could go on a bit of a run. When Herbert is healthy and actually has a good coach, I don't know. Is the AFC, like, the Ravens have to do it in the postseason before I believe it. The Chiefs offense, I don't know.
You should put some money on that. I think they're like 20th in Super Bowl odds or something.
We haven't really been talking about them too much. Last one for you. Can they win the Super Bowl? I know this one is close to you, Pearl, because it's your Super Bowl pick. The Bengals, late last night, I want to say survive, like come out of New York with a win It was a weird game. Defensive dominated. I don't understand why the Bengals can't put both sides of the ball together at the same time. I know they made a big deal about getting two interior linemen back last night and Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill. They certainly did seem to make an impact, obviously. But then the offense couldn't do anything. It was weird.
Well, the offense never had the ball. The Giants had four drives with double-digit plays. The Giants were just sort of dinking and dunking down the field. I thought when Burrow needed to, he was seemed like he was fine.
I thought Burrow got caught a lot. He got hit a lot. And he has to get rid of the ball. I know it's Joe Burrow, so we think, oh, he's above reproach. He's such a great quarterback. He is. But don't you have to get rid of the ball? Some of their three and outs happen at alarming speed. They would go three and out and take like a minute off the play clock, if that.
Really? I never thought they were in any danger in that game.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did you you thought the Giants were going to win that one?
No, because the Giants can't Daniel Jones is not somebody who's capable of leading you on a comeback. So the fact that the Bengals scored an opening drive touchdown, and that was basically the only scoring that happened until 6 minutes left in the third quarter. Like, you have no shot on offense.
So I think that I'm not sure it's going to happen, but it looks like the Bengals will probably be 5-4 going to that rematch against the Ravens. I think the two teams are really close. I think the Bengals should have won that last game, obviously, against the Ravens.
Yeah, overtime.
So we'll see. To me, like, it feels like a tall task right now, but if they can win that game, then they're right back in the mix.
Nick is our research team
research
today.
Research team is back with the help of EJ.
So
we got Giants were 25th in 2011, Colts 23rd in 2006, Saints were 20th in 2009, Giants in 2007 were 17th, and the Chiefs were 16th last year.
All right.
But say again, the Chiefs were 16th last year?
16th last year.
The Kansas City Chiefs were 16th with Steve Spagnuolo? Man, they got hot.
Their playoff run was really amazing. Perloff, you had asked when was the last time a team that had a defense that was not in the top half of the NFL in total yards, when's the last time they won a Super Bowl? Both of those Giants ones, I'm kind of not surprised, because both of those runs where they beat the Patriots were like Cinderella runs.
And those defenses actually weren't like great. It was the pass rush was great.
The pass rush was great, and the pass rush won the Super Bowl.
Right. Like, their secondary was not great, and their linebackers, besides Pierce, were famously terrible.
Right. Interesting.
But the Ravens, by the way, might be able to really score enough to do this thing.
It's possible. Kevin is our pal in San Antonio. Has a thought on the Aiden Hutchinson injury. It was devastating yesterday to see him carted off the field. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning, Perloff, too. San Antonio Tacos are calling.
Yeah, baby.
But anyway, that reminded me back in the day, on Monday Night Football, it was the Giants and the Redskins. And Lawrence Taylor broke Joe Theismann's leg, and they showed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't do that anymore, Kevin.
They don't do that no more. It's so gross. It happened also. It also happened during the NCAA men's tournament. Somebody broke their leg on CBS, and they just did not show it. It was so gross.
I know, Kevin, we were talking about that, the Kevin Ware injury that it's weird because, and Kevin, thanks for the call. We will be in touch soon about Perloff's trip to San Antonio because it is happening soon. It was the only time I felt like Jim Nance was ever really rattled.
Yeah, yeah.
The NCAA tournament when Kevin Ware broke his leg. It was like no one could recover from that right away. Yesterday, devastating for Aiden Hutchinson and, you know, Perloff, listen, they are stacked. The Lions are. But you can't just rely on your offense when you're a Super Bowl contender. At some point, your defense is going to be asked to make a big stop.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could paint a positive picture, say it's week 6. They'll have a lot of time to figure this out. They have a trade deadline November 5th. I still think you have to feel good as a Lions fan. Like, you come out of that game, they're, to me, obviously the team to beat in the NFC. The fact that the Niners are still favored over them, that's one of, you always wonder why Vegas likes the Bills so much. Like, what Niners team? How is that possible? And anyway, the Niners are going to be, they're so old and they're so decimated with injuries. That's not happening. I feel like the Lions are in a great spot. To me, the biggest challenger is the Packers. Like, and I know the Vikings are 5-0. I know the Bears are 4-2. I feel like that NFC North, the top of it, the Packers and the Lions are the most impressive teams I've seen. How about you? Who jumps out in the NFC?
the NFC North as a whole. I mean, the one thing about the Bears, though, again, who have they beaten the last couple of weeks? The defenses, they faced some really bad defenses. And I heard from your pal, Peter Schrager, and I like to think that he and I are friends as well, mention all the weather-related delays that the Jags went through on their way to London. Now, they get to stay there for a whole week. So when they play the Patriots this upcoming week, they should 100% be the more well-adjusted team. But they had to leave late because of the awful storms and the hurricane, and I think it messed a lot of them up.
Yeah. I mean,
which is kind of amazing about Tampa Bay that they were able to come
out. Well, I think they came out kind of wonky, too.
Yeah. Well, they had been staying in New Orleans for several days.
Yeah. I think that might have affected them, too. Let New Orleans with Spencer Rattler run all over them in the first half. That was a bananas game.
That game was crazy. How the final score got to where it was, like, wait a minute, what? And Spencer Rattler did look impressive in the first 2.5 quarters, and then he threw two fourth-quarter interceptions, and just sort of the steam came out.
But now that everybody's hurt there, you might as well stick with Rattler. I mean, there's not really much of a team around them. They were like the hot team after 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Now
the
they're
2-0 Saints.
Full rebuild.
Well, we'll see when Carr comes back. Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky, a former Cowboy fan. Although, Dave, you jumped off the Cowboy bandwagon to go to the Bengals, and it hasn't really worked out well.
Well, it's like the lesser of two evils.
How you been, pal?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Listen, prayers for Aiden Hutchinson. One of the reasons why I wanted to call is telling EJ off air there. Actually, my son just August the 9th, just suffered a really bad lawnmower accident, which he destroyed his patella. Mm-hmm. Talking about this open injury thing, I mean, this was the most gruesome thing I ever seen. He's doing well. 3-hour reconstructive surgery. They had to reattach both patella tendons. It crushed his kneecap. They were able to reconstruct that, do it all in one surgery.
Oh, boy, Dave, that is awful.
Oh, yeah, it was really bad. Listen, my son is almost 6'7", and weighs 330 pounds.
Wow. So, I'm surprised. What did the lawnmower look like? I'm sure he probably took it down.
Yeah, it didn't come out all that well either, but he was very fortunate. It could have been worse. He actually flipped the lawnmower on him. It landed on his kneecap. Could have been worse. Could have landed somewhere else. But anyway, he's just now getting back up on his feet. He's in physical therapy now, doing well. But anyway, prayers for Aiden Hutchinson. They were talking about, like, and my son had to crawl part of the way through the yard to yell so his wife could hear him. He took like three bottles of the surgeon told me and his wife, he took like three bottles of saline solution to clean all the grass, dirt, and debris out of the wound.
Oh, gosh, man. Well,
so it was
happy to hear that he's recovering. He's on the road to recovery, but that is an awful thing to have to come through. Please send him our best.
I'll do it. But he's doing well. Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? you want to evaluate the status of the franchise. Did you hear what Jarrah said?
Which part?
Jarrah said that he was shocked.
Oh.
By this yeah. He was shocked. That was I just watched the interview. He was shocked by the outcome. Well, here's the thing. Anybody, if you didn't see this coming, now maybe it was a worse beatdown than maybe even I thought would happen. Anybody that didn't see this coming, if he's being realistic, but Mike, a couple years ago you made the comment that you didn't think that he was really concerned with winning, that wasn't his top priority.
Yep.
I'm beginning to believe you. I think you were right all along.
Thank you. Listen, I've got a knack for these things, Dave. You know, it's like seeing the future. I think he got into the Hall of Fame. I think that was very important to him. And I think you see the valuation of the Cowboys. And as a business, the Cowboys' business is booming. The football, not so much. And I don't think they believe that the franchise gets any richer whether they win a Super Bowl or not.
I think you're probably right. Last thing I want to leave you guys with.
Yeah.
Lions and Chiefs in the Super Bowl against the field.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
How are you taking?
The field.
All right. Have a good morning, guys.
Thank you, Dave. And again, send our best to your son who went through that terrible injury. Lions and Chiefs of the field, Pearl.
I'm taking Lions and Chiefs.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phone. Everybody very much into not just the NFL, but what we saw in college over the weekend. We'll get to that. Lots to do. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally gonna kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
They did a lot of Animal House references, by the way, at Oregon, Ohio State, because Animal House was shot at Oregon. Who called that game? It was on NBC, right?
Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge.
And Todd Blackledge, apparently a huge Animal House fan. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show, by the way. But they were going off on the Animal House quotes, which I loved as an old. But great game, by the way. But let's get into the college report card. Who do we start with?
All right. Let's toss them out here. We'll give you some grades. EJ, you want to do it first?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go with Will Howard, who put up some big numbers against Oregon, but had a little bit of a big gap at the end as Ohio State lost to the Ducks.
Yeah, we call that the Dak Prescott. Is when a quarterback at the very end of the game is unaware of the clock and just sees all this green grass in front of him and thinks, look at my good fortune, but then forgets to slide or get down in time. And that's what happened to Will Howard. I'm going to give Will Howard a B- for this game. The final drive, I mean, you're a fifth-year player. I think you have to be a little bit more aware there, understand that you do have the timeout. He fell, remember, on the first play of the drive? He looked totally rattled. Then he actually did complete four straight passes. Then the PI call happened, the offensive pass interference, and then they wasted too much time because he didn't realize or nobody realized that the clock's going to keep running on the offensive pass interference. He was fine, but again, Perloff, I think you've made this joke that you could be playing quarterback for Ohio State. If you're throwing to Jeremiah Smith and Ibuka, you're going to put up numbers. So
yeah, I think I give him a B+. That slip was it. I thought nerves were getting to him. You saw it on that slip.
Yep.
You saw it when he didn't see the snap coming right at him. That was like, oh God, he's rattled, because there was a snap that he missed, a shotgun snap that killed a drive. I didn't quite understand. They had Jeremiah Smith one-on-one so many times and decided not to throw to him. That's more on Ryan Day, but you're right. He has so many advantages. It was loud there. It's not an excuse, but the O-line, oh my God, how many penalties are you going to get? So I gave him a B+ a little bit. He definitely panicked at the end of that game.
Not good.
Let's go to Alabama, where Kalen DeBoer's Crimson Tide needed a late interception to seal the win against the Gamecocks. Alabama 27, South Carolina 25.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer, I've got to go see here, because you just had the most devastating loss maybe in a generation for Alabama, where you lost to Vanderbilt. You got to come out and make a statement here against South Carolina. You got to get that bad taste out of your mouth. They did not do that in this game. I mean, you had Sellers, the other quarterback. If he's not young and inexperienced, if he has a little bit more experience, that kid is a redshirt freshman, right? If he has a little more experience, you're probably losing that game, because all of a sudden the quarterback for South Carolina just ended up getting kind of rattled and making some mistakes. I think that you maybe are even able to forgive the Vandy loss, I guess, but now not looking great against South Carolina, a team that you were also, how big of a favorite were they in this game? Pretty sizable, no?
Double,
I mean,
digits.
By the way, they're
12 points?
They're up 27-19 with 30 seconds left in the game. It's not like they made a terrible mistake on the onside kick. But generally, though, I'm not totally dissing them. They had that game in control. If Jeremy Bernard, who caught the touchdown to go ahead, if he had taken a knee at the one-yard line like everybody in the NFL does now, game's over right there. It was not well executed at the end. But Jalen Milroe, when he had to make plays, made plays. He's electrifying.
That's right. It was 21.
The other part, too, is it was the end of the first half is where they really let South Carolina back in the game.
Yeah, they definitely have some. Yeah, but in the fourth quarter, when they needed Milroe to do something, like, he was totally electric. I still love him. Maybe he's my Heisman pick, but I wouldn't panic about that game. They had it won. They let South Carolina back in the last second.
Okay, we have time for one more. Who do we have, EJ?
Okay, I'm going to go to Coach Prime then. Deion Sanders, Colorado Buffaloes, lost a heartbreaker to K-State. They also lost Travis Hunter and two other receivers in this game.
Yeah, I guess Deion for me is just like a B- coach. But they always play these super exciting games. Can they just, I mean, there's nothing easy about these. Travis Hunter is my Heisman pick, and he had climbed all the way to second in the odds before this injury. You mentioned they also lost Jimmy Horn Jr., right? They also lost Omarion Miller. This is going to be really hard. Their defense, whenever they need a stop, cannot get one. And that's the Colorado experience right now, Pearl. B-.
Yeah. Can you give them a B+, because that's a real good team that they just
went to the wire
with.
Yeah.
They've been beating kind of bad teams. Kansas State, remember what Kansas State did to Oklahoma State? To me, I was a little impressed by this, but it's such a cliche. They were obviously wearing your guy into the ground.
Travis,
and you can't play 98% of your snaps because you're going to get hurt, and he's got hurt. Same thing happened last year. We can't have this dream. It's just like Shohei can't hit and pitch. I keep telling you that, but you want to see something to entertain you that you've never seen before. You got to be smart about these things, and they have not been smart about Travis Hunter.
It's all about me. Thank you. That is College Football Report Card. We will ask the question whether or not Travis Hunter should play another snap this year for Colorado, or should he be preserving himself for the NFL? Pat Boyle is doing headlines for us this morning. What's up, Pat?
What's up? Primetime at MetLife Stadium last night between the Giants and Bengals, and Joe Burrow helped take his team's season off life support again.
Shotgun snap. It's a five-man rush. Burrow runs.
Oh, baby.
He's at the 35, the 30,
score.
25,
score.
20, 15, 10, 5.
Oh.
Dives for the pylon.
Yeah.
Touchdown. A 47-yard touchdown run by Joe Burrow.
Bengals radio, the call. By the way, do you guys like it when the analyst on radio gets into the call? I think in that moment it was great.
He's grandfathered
those little moments of silence perfectly.
Generally, I don't like it when someone jumps the call.
Yes.
Because it's like technically that's not the correct way to do the broadcast. Yeah. But when it's someone so excited, they just can't help it. Like the best one is the kick six from the Iron Bowl.
Ugh.
Like there will never be a better jumping the call that you just love because they're like crying.
I actually thought you were going to talk about when Kevin Harlan during one of the NCAA tournament games, like you literally in the camera see him get up
and hold them
Stan
back.
Van Gundy and whoever the Bonner with back because they don't say anything. And then he goes off to finish his call.
But I think that was when Virginia lost to Furman, I think.
Yes, it was.
Dave Lapham does this on like a first down. Like that's there's two or three guys, Scott Zolak, Dave Lapham, the
Tony Romo.
The Arizona guy. Oh, like there's certain local guys who are they're grandfathered into acting like cheerleaders. It annoys some people, but if Dave Lapham didn't do that, like every radio show has been using his calls forever.
Yeah.
I like it. That being said, that play was crazy.
Yeah, that was on a
that play was insane.
That was on a 3rd and 18 on the opening drive, and it was the only touchdown the Bengals scored in the first 58 minutes of the game. They got a 30-yard touchdown run from Chase Brown to seal it. Once it was already a formality, they beat the Giants 17-7. Cincinnati now 2-4 on the season. Perloff, you were talking about the NFL and concussions last hour, and your take on Joe Burrow when he briefly went to the blue medical tent after hitting his head on the turf before returning to the game. Here was Burrow when asked about his 47-yard touchdown run.
That's been one of our go-to runs all year. Chase hit it quick like he always does and was able to break it, so that was good to see. Oh, mine? I forgot about that. I just saw an opening, saw it was man coverage, and you know was able to squeak through there and find the end zone.
He forgot he housed one for the only other touchdown that they scored.
Maybe the person asked the question in a weird way.
Well, it was early in the game. But I you think that was a concussion-related forgetting? I felt more like, oh, that happened, as you said, like way, way early in the game. And then they did nothing for about 56 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm half joking, but also they're like, yeah, no, yours, and he goes, oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah. You forgot about it? It's like the greatest run of your career.
By the way, they can't want more of that from Burrow. This guy's been hurt, you know, multiple seasons. You do not want him running and diving like that. But here's the other thing about the Giants. Just quickly, I know that the Giants don't really matter in the scheme of things, but can you imagine if they just had their reliable field goal kicker? Yep. They would have beaten the Commanders.
Lost and two games.
And they probably could have won last night. They missed two 50-yarders.
47, like, less than 50. I think it was 47 and 48, the two field goals they missed.
They have to sign a different guy, right?
Yeah, he's going
to
be cut today, I would assume. Greg Joseph. Sorry.
And listen, at the end of the game, could they have come back from 10 points? They were going to need an onside kick and all this stuff. I get it. But they also, I think, were going for all these fourth and shorts because they felt like they couldn't rely on their kicker. So instead, you're relying on Daniel Jones. So pick your poison.
But they got right a lot in of them.
Yeah, it's 10-7, and they went for it on 4th and 2 from the Bengals' 30-yard line instead of kicking a 47-yarder. And then they I forget where that one. It was 36. It would have been 54-yarder. Not an easy one. And then they tried to kick a 47-yarder and missed. And then tried to kick another field goal at the end to set up maybe an onside kick. Hail Mary, missed that.
But Pat, I have a question. You're a bit of a fashionista. For this place, you're the fashionista.
You can ask me about Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow, I saw there was a bunch of young Giants fans, ladies, who were had signs, we love you, Joe Burrow, we love you, Joe Burrow, and they were wearing Giants gear.
Yeah.
Is he a heartthrob?
Absolutely. 100%.
I thought so.
1,000%.
Because like he kind of leans into the whatever. Like where Josh Allen, your guy, doesn't lean into that at all.
I have a question. You're going to ask which quarterback is popular with the ladies, and you're going to Pat Boyle? I'm sitting right here.
Well, yeah, but...
Wouldn't I be the one you would ask?
You're
going to
say
this?
Josh Allen because you're a biased Bills fan. Josh Allen is.
Not a fashionista. Of course, Josh Allen's not because he's actually worried about winning football.
But you're very, very happily married. I figure you have no eyes for any quarterback except also, the Buffalo Bills, which is probably some sort of arrangement you have with your husband.
He's got a hall pass if I ever find myself with Josh Allen.
If the Bills win the Super Bowl and you want to sleep with Josh Allen, Eddie will be fine.
My husband also has the hall pass. I want to sleep with Josh Allen.
I don't know if anybody will ever top Jimmy Garoppolo. And on top of it was hooking up with porn stars. Garoppolo is objectively better looking than Brady.
I agree.
He doesn't have a plastic face.
Well, Brady, but you got to go Brady in his prime. We're always talking about in their prime.
I would
not TV Brady.
I don't know if it gets better looking than Jimmy G. Ever.
I think Brady was right there. I just can't believe that Pat gets this question, not me. The weirdest thing is that Joe Burrow's like 15 years younger than I am, so that makes it weird.
So what's your answer, Maggie?
What? Is he a fashionista?
No, is he a heartthrob?
Oh, yeah. He's got that boy band
thing.
He
stole the blonde hair from me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Definitely stole
that. That was you.
Yeah, but it's interesting because there are a lot.
I saw that on the Infinity Sports Network and said, man, I got to, that's my next look.
There are a lot of young star quarterbacks who don't seem to care about any of that stuff.
A lot of them are like engaged or married. I was thinking about that last night. I was like, Burrow, I don't think has a woman that we know of. At least I don't know.
The same girlfriend forever.
Oh,
but
Jalen
Hurts was on the cover of Essence magazine. He's like a heartthrob. He's literally on the cover of women's magazine.
But he just recently got engaged. And I know there are a lot, especially a lot of black women who love Jalen Hurts. But like,
but you have to actually speak to other human beings to be a heartthrob.
You
can't just say three words in your entire life. I don't know. Jalen Hurts to me does not. He's not putting it out there personality-wise like Joe Burrow is. He's so quiet. It's ridiculous. Lamar Jackson doesn't seem to care about whatever. He has no interest in the outside world, as far as I can tell.
By the way, just on the Joe Burrow touchdown, I mean, did anyone get like the freeze vibes of watching Isaiah Simmons give Joe Burrow basically a 15-yard head start and almost meet him at the goal line? I mean, Isaiah Simmons is one of the most athletic guys in the NFL, and I was like, Joe Burrow, I didn't think he was going to make it.
Yeah,
like, because Isaiah Simmons is just housing it to that goal line. I'm like, wow. I mean, he's like 6'4", 250, and he's running a 4'3". I didn't think Joe Burrow was going to get to the end zone.
Speaking of Joe Burrow injury concerns, you see his throwing wrist, the one that was surgically repaired after the season-ending injury last year, NBC multiple times showing him grimacing after warm-up throws.
Yeah. That was a good shaking it around a lot.
Yeah, threw for 208 yards. He was asked about the wrist on TV, basically dodged the question. But I got a question for you guys. Is his wrist still not 100%?
It's not even 50%.
Is he maybe dramatizing it for a built-in excuse if they don't get their season back on track?
Interesting.
No, don't you guys remember he took a piano, so everything's fine now? Remember, that was going to be the remedy for these ligaments? Like, I don't think that's going to do what you think it's going to do.
It's like that jujitsu that Tua did.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
no, I know Bach now. Everything's cool.
It's the big issue for the Bengals. Yeah. I would say even more so than their record, it's his wrist. There's no doubt about it.
So maybe he shouldn't be scrambling for touchdowns and diving at the goal line.
I think it's the throwing.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good either.
But that scramble was great. By the way, you could forget Isaiah Simmons. What's the safety's name that went the exact opposite direction and Joe Burrow ran from him like he was allergic to him?
Dane Belton.
Jason Pinnock, I think?
Well, I think, Pinnock, and then I think Pinnock got knocked out of the game.
Pinnock was the safety who was assigned to that lane where Joe Burrow did. Burrow starts running to the right. Pinnock sprints to the left to cover I don't know who.
Yeah.
And then Burrow had the red seas. They're not normally quick, because he was not running that fast, by the way.
No.
It wasn't like Jaden Daniels out there.
That was like Daniel Jones is fast, but that was like when Daniel Jones faked out the Eagles and then tripped and fell on his face.
Had the turf monster.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there was a bad turf monster moment in college.
What's the name? Shiloh got mixed.
No. Someone else got eaten by the turf monster. It was, now I'll forget. Anyway, Pat, continue.
Sure, yeah, we hit on a lot of the games in the early window already, along with the Lions dismantling the Cowboys 47-9 in the late window. There were three other games in the late window. Essentially, all of them were blowouts. Falcons walloped the Panthers 38-20. That's 74 points now for Atlanta in their last two games. Steelers crushed the Raiders 32-13. Devontae Adams did not play for the third straight game, but you had Adam Schefter reporting Saturday night that Adams could now possibly remain a Raider instead of being traded. The situation is incredibly fluid. I don't know where to go with that story.
This is using Adam Schefter because they're not getting... They need to get another team involved that's not the Jets. So the Jets are saying, listen, we're not going to be bargaining against ourselves and give you a second-round pick. So now they're trying to get another team involved.
I'll give you guys more on Jim Harbaugh and the irregular heartbeat he suffered yesterday. But speaking of which, this is from Adam Schefter a couple of minutes ago. Jets holdout edge rusher Hassan Reddick has hired Drew Rosenhaus and Ryan Mafa as his new agents. So there you go.
So he'll be in uniform tonight. I'm just kidding. 855-212-4227. All right, we'll get to that. That's interesting news. We also have the burning question for the NFL. Do it next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff deciding to rock the Penn State sweatshirt today. Lifelong Penn State fan as of...
Well, they are Philadelphia's college football team, along with... And I would have taken Ohio State too, because they always have a Philadelphia quarterback, Will Howard, from the area. But Penn State, hey, you know what? Still number, what are they, three or four now? Three?
They're now three.
Three in the country. When's the last time that happened?
Also, if the USC field goal kicker hits that field goal and then maybe you go into double overtime or something and they lose, would you have also worn the sweatshirt?
100% no.
I didn't think so. Maggie and Perloff. So we have a lot more college football to get to and a lot more NFL. But I do have one question for you of something that happened to me this weekend. So my kid is 5 years old and he has a loose tooth.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to explain the tooth fairy.
Right.
And I said to you, I'm like, yeah, you know, he's not really into money. You know, his life revolves around candy and the pursuit of candy and ice cream and stuff. I said, yeah. Disappointed. And you go, yeah, but when he sees 20 bucks, yeah, he might be happy about it.
So I said, yeah, I read the national average is $5.
$5 a tooth.
So, you know, I live in New York City. I think all the kids expect a 20 spot.
A 20 spot for a tooth. You don't have to do anything to get it. Everyone's teeth fall out. This isn't even something special. Like, you need no skill. You've done no chores. It's just a tooth falls out of your head, and you get 20 bucks per tooth.
What do you expect a five-year-old to do? To pull out an Excel spreadsheet and organize your taxes? I don't understand. How are they going to earn money?
What do they need that for? 20 bucks. What is a five-year-old going to do with $20?
I remember, I think it says $20 for the first tooth, and then it sort of fades off into nothingness.
And like $5 for every additional tooth? My daughter is 12. Some kind of long-distance phone call?
Yeah, my daughter is 12, and she still loses teeth, so we don't give her anything anymore. But yeah, I mean, I know where you live. I would just watch out for the Joneses, keeping up with them.
$5 a tooth feels even rich for me. I was going to give him a buck.
Okay.
A dollar.
Okay.
He doesn't, what does he know? It's like he barely even knows about money to begin with. We're still trying to do the difference between quarters, pennies, nickels, and dimes.
I think you have to oblige to the average. I think you got to go five. I think 20.
That's a national average. That's not where Maggie lives.
I know, but.
But guys, what is he going to do? And what's he doing with this money? Piggy bank?
Yeah, save it up. And then he'll want to buy like an ice cream cone or something. And then you'll be like, oh, you know what? You got your own money. Go buy your own ice cream cone. And it'll be a nice moment. He'll go up to the cashier and be like, can I have a chocolate ice cream? It'll be nice.
Inflation's crazy these days, so it's only going to get worse.
I know. All of a sudden now he's got thoughts on the election. How far is his dollar stretching? Anyway, $5 I thought was pretty crazy. You're wearing a Penn State football. Can we put that as a poll, by the way? How much do you give your kid when they lose a tooth? Drew Aller.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State's definitely losing. They have Ohio State on the schedule, right? I believe.
Yes. When
they're definitely, like, James Franklin, again, this doesn't really prove anything because he's, like, 3-17 against top 10 teams. USC is not a top 10 team. I mean, you saw some of their flaws. They definitely, you're right, USC should have won that game. But I didn't come away from that game saying, ooh, Penn State, this is a year. Not even for a second.
Well, I mean, the fact that they were down big at halftime, right? What was the halftime score? I think it was 20-6. And the fact that they did come back and Aller, who had been shaky earlier in the game and throwing two bad interceptions, then did settle down in that game. And who is this guy? Is it Tyler Warren?
This kid's an animal.
Holy crap.
So good.
Can he go to the NFL tomorrow? This dude, number 44 on Penn State, massive guy, tight end. And he was everywhere. They even did.
Is he a tight end?
Is he a tight end? I assume he's tight end.
He's everything. He's fullback too.
He's whatever they want him to be. Yeah. He's technically a tight end.
He snapped the ball on one of these trick plays. He snaps the ball and then is on the receiving end of the touchdown. It was crazy. I don't even know how to explain that. They sort of like spread out all the linemen, you know, and sometimes colleges do that funky formation. So he's snapping the ball and then just basically right up the seam.
This guy makes me kind of reassess Penn State a little bit. If he's this kind of weapon, just because their passing game's always kind of suspect. Like, if they have a guy they can throw the ball 20 times to, he did against USC, a defense that's not terrible this year. That was impressive.
Well, to me, I actually took it as an A. I'm like, wow, this is the only, it would be 3rd and 10, and they throw a 6-yard pass to him. I'm like, oh, they have nobody they trust except this fullback guy or whatever, this H-back, Chris Cooley type. Mm. Yeah, like, they don't scare me at all, by the way. I'm wearing this half as a joke because I always say the Penn State's a Philadelphia team.
Yeah.
The game's in Penn State. I think they're not in the same class as those other teams. I mean, USC's not great this year. They should really handle them, and they got super lucky to win that game.
How about Lincoln Riley? On that final drive before the overtime, when you have the ball, you could call a timeout. You have three of them. before Miller Moss throws an interception. I mean, maybe he can get organized a little bit. Maggie and Perloff coming up next. Every NFL game broken down in 60 seconds. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.